Gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Saturday, February 9th, 2019. I was going to say 17, but no, it's not 2017. It's 2019. Hello again, everyone. I'm Ariel Helwani. Welcome back to the program. Another special edition of Ariel Helwani's MMA Show right here on ESPN Radio. You'll recall that we did it back in January of this past year in Brooklyn, New York. We did it prior to the first ever UFC on ESPN card, and it was such a success. Back then, they gave us just an hour, but then afterwards, the powers that be told me they liked the show so much that they said, you know what? We're not going to give you 2 hours. We're going to give you 2.5 hours. We're going to supersize this bad boy. And of course, we're here because it's UFC 234 tonight on pay-per-view from Melbourne. It's not Melbourne. It's not Melbourne. It's Melbourne, Australia. We have a lot to talk about, my friends. A lot to talk about from the world of MMA. A lot to talk about from the world of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. First off, you can listen to today's show on SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Radio, or the ESPN app. It is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests, and we have four of them coming up, will appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can tweet us on the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed, or, and this is the most important one, you can reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. As you may have heard on our first ESPN radio show back in January, we want to take a lot of calls. We want to hear from all of you. So again, I'll say that number, 1-888-729-3776. We're going to be joined by four guests on today's program. Chael Sonnen, my partner, who's in Melbourne. We're going to be waking him up at around 3:30 or so. We're also going to be talking to Brett Okamoto, who's there, ESPN MMA insider, been doing great work down under this past week. We're also going to talk to Alexander Volkanovski, who is one of the top featherweight contenders in the world, coming off that big win over Chad Mendes. And he's been talking lately about either fighting Max Holloway, Jose Aldo, telling MMAfighting.com yesterday that he is interested in fighting him at UFC 237. And of course, he is of Australian descent, so I want him to set the scene. And I'm very excited to talk to Derek Brunson, one of the best middleweights in the world. He has fought Anderson Silva, Israel Adesanya, and Robert Whittaker. He's the only person on earth to have fought three of the four individuals fighting in tonight's main and co-main event. So I'm curious to get his take on everything that is going down this evening in Melbourne, Australia. Now, of course, I say this evening, it's actually technically happening Sunday morning in Australia, but for our purposes here in the United States, I will say this evening. My show, this show, the best MMA show on the planet, is on ESPN Radio, presented by Uber. Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. So UFC 234 is tonight. Main event, Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum for the UFC middleweight title. And co-main event is Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva. Now, I have been saying all week long that this is a thin card on paper, that it's a two-fight card. And normally, I would sort of scoff at that because in the past, the UFC has always been very proud of the fact that their cards are deeper than in boxing when you're usually going to get like one or two fights at most that are of interest to the general public. The UFC has always been known for putting on cards that the general public cares, you know, maybe about 5 to 8 of the fights, and then the hardcore fans care about the rest. In this particular case, I really do feel like it's a two-fight card. And like I said, normally I would scoff at that. However, I love these two top fights so much that I don't really care. I think that Robert Whittaker is the most underrated UFC champion currently. I think that Kelvin Gastelum is as tough as they come, and I love the fact that he's doing so well since moving up from 170 pounds. The Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva fight is so darn interesting on so many levels. It's Anderson Silva returning after a 2-year layoff. He was out for the past year serving that PED suspension. He's finally talking about wanting to go for the belt again. He's finally talking about one last title run. If, in fact, he does win tonight, he will get a title shot. And if, in fact, he does get that title shot, and if, in fact, he does win that belt, he would become the oldest champion in UFC history. So that's fascinating. But as a lot of the hardcore fans may know, for the longest time, while Anderson Silva was the winningest middleweight champion of all time when he was, you know, reigning and defending as champion, when he was defending that belt all over the world, we always used to ask him after his fights, who do you want next? Who's next? Who are you going to fight next? And he would always give us the same answer. He would always say, I'm going to fight myself. I'm going to fight my clone. That's who I want. And as a journalist, that's a very annoying answer. No one wants to hear that. You're going to fight your clone? There's no chance of that happening. Give us a real name. He would never do it. Now, tonight, UFC 234, 43-year-old Anderson Silva is actually going to fight his clone. Yes, it's a clone that's 14 years younger, but this is the Spider-Man meme. If you know what I'm talking about, you know that meme of the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other? This is that meme. This is that fight. Israel Adesanya fights like Anderson Silva. He's a counter-striker like Anderson Silva. His body type is like Anderson Silva. He's tall and lanky. He acts like Anderson Silva in the cage. He likes to clown his opponents. He likes to be flashy. He likes to embarrass his opponents. He says that Anderson's a troll. He's a bigger troll. It's all mind games between these two, and that's what makes this fight so interesting. Anderson's going into this fight the biggest underdog that he's ever been going into a UFC fight, and I think for the most part, Israel Adesanya has done a great job in building up the fight. I think for the most part, he has done a great job of asserting himself as the favorite and sort of setting the narrative. But then something happened yesterday. Something different happened yesterday. Something happened yesterday at the weigh-in that I've never seen happen before at any weigh-in any organization has ever put on. So for this particular card, they only had one weigh-in. These days, there are typically two. There's one in the morning, then one in the afternoon. That's the ceremonial weigh-ins. But because of the time difference, they only had one ceremonial weigh-in, and it was the old-school weigh-in with the pomp and circumstance. Anderson Silva comes up, weighs in successfully. Israel Adesanya comes up, weighs in successfully. They both face off. It was a phenomenal face-off. It was very dramatic. And then Anderson gets on the mic and speaks to UFC commentator John Anik. I want to play that sound of Anderson Silva, and it's obviously a lot more compelling if you could see it because he's actually crying as he's speaking. But trust me on this one, he's crying as he is speaking. And then when we come back, we'll play the sound of Israel Adesanya. First, here's what Anderson Silva had to say moments after he weighed in last night.
We're just going to grab a minute here with one of the greatest of all time, Anderson Silva. First fight here in Australia. The welcome has been incredible. Your thoughts on tomorrow night, my friend?
I worked my entire life for this sport, and I tried to do my best. And I need to say thank you, God, for giving one more time the great opportunity for give a great show for you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, Australia. Thank you, Dana. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Welcome back, the legend, folks, Anderson Silva.
So that's Anderson Silva crying, getting super emotional as he's speaking to the crowd, as he's speaking to UFC commentator John Anik. I've never seen someone cry as they do one of these post-weigh-in interviews. So then Anik goes over to Israel Adesanya, and here's what he had to say.
And here he is, the man of the moment. This feels like the last Stylebender show. I know you're not fighting in the main event, but Israel Adesanya, your expectations for this fight with Anderson Silva tomorrow night, my friend?
He's trying to make me cry. First of all, Melbourne, what's up? Big shout out to everyone that paid, came through all around the world to watch the show. And a special shout out. He's trying to make me cry for real. To my everyone from Auckland that came through, I appreciate you. But breathe. I don't give a look, I'm a fan of this man. But just because I'm a fan doesn't mean you can't catch these hands and elbow and feet and knee. Tomorrow we're going to throw everything in the cage. You're going to have fun, all right? I'll send him off in a nice way. Let's go.
There he is, folks. Israel Adesanya.
The brash, the cocky, the confident Israel Adesanya getting choked up at a loss for words. What was that? All of a sudden, it feels like the tables have turned. All of a sudden, it feels like Anderson is in his mind. All of a sudden, it feels like Anderson has now set the tone going into tonight. That was a fascinating turn of events and one that I did not expect. A curveball bigger than any curveball that I've ever seen Anderson throw, and we've seen him throw a lot of them in his day. And I want to know from all of you, do you now feel differently about the outcome tonight? Are you starting to worry about Israel Adesanya? Are you starting to think that Israel might be a little bit shook, as the kids like to say, after him responding to what Anderson did like that? Getting choked up? Crying? Cried afterwards as well, talking to Brett Okamoto. Fascinating turn of events. We're going to talk about that moment. We're going to talk about the fight. We're going to talk about UFC 234. We're going to talk about the main event, of course, Robert Whittaker, and whatever else you want to talk about. Give us a call, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up in around 50 minutes, my partner Chael Sonnen will join us from Australia. We'll wake him up from his hotel. But next, I want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. You're listening to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show on SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Up. We're back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Welcome back to the program. This is Ariel Helwani's MMA Show on SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. It is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tweet us at the 1-800-Flowers Twitter feed. That's at Ariel Helwani, 1-800-Flowers.com. You can reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. If you haven't noticed, my demeanor has drastically changed because in the last 5 minutes, some massive news has broken courtesy of ESPN's Brett Okamoto. Some horrible news. Brett reporting on Twitter just moments ago that Robert Whittaker is out of tonight's main event. The main event has been canceled. The fight is off. He is suffering from a hernia, and in a matter of moments, we don't have him yet, right?
We do not have him yet, no.
Okay, in a matter of moments, we're going to be joined by Brett to tell us more about what happened. I've reached out to both Kelvin Gastelum's team and Robert Whittaker's team to get more on this situation, but the breaking news is this. Tonight's UFC 234 main event has been canceled. One assumes that the Israel Adesanya-Anderson Silva fight is now the new main event, but horrible luck for Robert Whittaker, who continues to be plagued by bad luck. According to Brett's report, woke up at around midnight local time, struggling, in pain, had to go to the hospital, and the hernia now may require surgery. I was talking to his manager last night about how good he's looked, how good he feels. That was at around 8 o'clock, and now 4 hours later, that happens, and now here we are 2 hours before the show's about to start, and the fight has been canceled. Let's go to Julia, who's standing by in Melbourne, I do believe. She's attending the event. I don't know if she even knows this news. Julia, are you there?
Hey, mate. How are you?
How are you, Julia? Did you know this? The main event's off.
No, I just heard it while I was on hold. I'm in my pajamas literally right now getting ready for the event. I'm in shock.
Okay. Well, Julia, thank you for calling in. I think you speak for everyone. This is heartbreaking stuff. Robert Whittaker is Australia's first UFC champion. He was getting an opportunity to defend his title on his home turf for the first time ever. And it's a huge deal. Now, we need to find out the rules in Australia because I know in Nevada, when this has happened in the past, when a main event falls through just hours before, fans are able to get refunds. That's part of the rule in that state. Now, is that the same in Australia? Obviously, this is a fairly rare thing to happen, but you'll recall last year, they almost lost the main event when Yoel Romero missed weight prior to the Rockhold fight. They ended up figuring it out. He knocked out Rockhold, so they salvaged that one, even though the interim title didn't end up being on the line. But in this case, this is disastrous. This is the worst. I mean, this is 2 hours before the doors are going to open, maybe even a little less at this point. And there was all kinds of talk all week long about Kelvin Gastelum's health. Did he have staff? Did he have ringworm? Was he okay? Then I find out about this after just talking to his management like 12 hours ago about how good Robert Whittaker looked, how good he felt, how good his training camp has been, how focused he is. And now the fight is canceled. So in a matter of moments, we're going to be joined by Brett Okamoto, who's in Melbourne, Australia, to talk about this all. Let's go to some phone calls here and speak to the fans, because I think we need each other now. The UFC has dodged some bullets in the past. They've had a pretty good run. The John Jones situation, they were able to salvage it. In this case, they've just lost the main event. I told you like 10 minutes ago, this is a two-fight card. Now it's a one-fight card. Noah in Texas, what's on your mind?
Well, now finding out that news, it's a shocker.
But do you think they'll end up pulling the belt from Whitaker if he's out too much longer?
I don't think so. I mean, if he's out for much longer, then yeah. In this particular case, I think, you know, pulling it from him just as a result of this would be a little harsh. But now it seems, according to Brett, who just spoke to Dana White, that he is undergoing surgery today. What a turn of events for Robert Whittaker here. Thank you for the call, Noah. The guy just weighed in, looked to be in phenomenal shape. He's about to headline, and he was going to headline. Remember last year, he was on my show on Monday of this past week, and I asked him about all the bad luck that he has had to overcome. He was supposed to headline the event in February of last year in the same arena in Melbourne in front of his hometown crowd. And then he got the shingles, and he had to pull out. Now he gets a hernia like 15 hours before the card and has to go and have surgery today when he's supposed to be headlining. I mean, this is as disastrous as it gets. My heart breaks for Robert Whittaker. As I told you, I consider him the most underrated champion in the UFC, as tough as they come, but the man just can't catch a break. Horrible. Mark in New York, what's on your mind?
Hey there. Really enjoyed the Expo sneakers, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That was the best part of my day so far.
Yes, it was mine too. I can't wait for the Montreal Expos to come back. It's going to happen. But anyways, I wanted to just ask you a couple quick questions. One, do you think the winner of the female bout between Cassim, if she wins, or even if De La Rosa wins, will they get Paige? And also, is the last stylebender the best kickboxer to ever be in the UFC?
I appreciate the call. I don't think that the winner of that fight is going to get Paige. I'm hearing that Paige is in the works for another opponent. Last stylebender, best kickboxer in the UFC. I mean, certainly up there. He's fought, you know, on the highest stages possible, the biggest stages possible as far as kickboxing is concerned. He fought for glory. Didn't have the best ending to his kickboxing career before he decided to, you know, focus fully on mixed martial arts, but there's also been Gokhan Saki, who's made the transition over, and others as well. So I don't know if I'd consider him the best, but certainly up there. I think that's a fair, you know, that's a fair assessment to say that he's one of the best. Josh in Queens, how are you?
Great. That's some crazy news we just got there concerning Robert. Big hit to the card.
Oh, it's horrible. I'm so depressed right now. I was really looking forward to that fight.
Yeah, I think as you said on your show this week, the best card part about the card today was that we have a little middleweight tournament going on. So now that one's kind of out the window after this, is there another division out there that you think would we could set up a, you know, if you're a matchmaker, set up a really good four-man tournament, main and co-main?
Yeah, lightweight would be perfect for that. Welterweight as well. Lightweight is the first one that comes to mind. Bantamweight certainly needs it. I wish they would just, you know, stick with the bantamweight contenders fighting, you know, for the bantamweight belt and stop with this nonsense of having Cejudo go up. Just let him stay there. So those are two or three that come to mind. Every division could use a tournament. Every division. All right. We got to take a break. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Chael Sonnen, who is in Melbourne. We'll get his take on Robert Whittaker getting out of the main event on just a couple of hours' notice. This is a horrible turn of events. We're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to Brett Okamoto. We'll talk to all of you. Don't go anywhere. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. We'll be back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Welcome back to the program. Very fitting music there. I like that on multiple fronts because, A, that's Anderson Silva's theme song, so we'll hear that hopefully, his entrance song that we'll hopefully hear later on today. But in case you missed it, breaking news, UFC 234 has taken a massive hit, and there's no sunshine in here, no sunshine where any MMA fans are, especially the ones in Australia, because everyone was looking forward to Robert Whittaker, the first Australian UFC champion, getting an opportunity to finally defend that title, that middleweight title, on his home turf in Melbourne later this evening. Rod Laver Arena sold out in 10 minutes against Kelvin Gastelum. Finally getting to see him back. Well, we just found out 20 minutes ago the fight is off. His management has just confirmed with me as well. The fight is off. They're going to issue a statement in a matter of moments. Whittaker out due to a hernia. Fight canceled. Israel Adesanya, Anderson Silva is now the new main event. So how does this affect Kelvin Gastelum? How did he find out? Where does he go from here? Let's talk to his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, who is joining us on the phone right now. Ali, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. It can be better, but, you know, it's the name of the game. You know, things happen. We have to get adjusted. That's it.
When did you guys find out?
I just find out like probably 30 minutes ago. Robert Whittaker have a hernia, and he have to be rushed to the hospital, and they have to perform a surgery on him. And he's a great champion. The guy always put it on the line. Unfortunately, he's not fighting Calvin. Calvin put 12 weeks hard camp, make sacrifices, but it wasn't a weight cut related issues, and it's just Robert Work as such a warrior, and I know it will not small injury or even a hard injury will not keep him away from fighting. He's a great guy. We wish him nothing but the best for him and his family, and wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, and his management just told me that he's heavily sedated as we speak, and he's going into surgery right this moment. So, like I said, a horrible turn of events for Robert Whittaker. What does this mean for Kelvin? What has the UFC told you? I know it's very fresh, but, is he going to get another title shot? What are they going to do with the belt? Do you have any idea?
Listen, at the end of the day right now, I did speak with Dana White. He said, unfortunately, they will take care of Kelvin. Kelvin is the number one contender. He's going to see what happened, sit out, and we're going to go ahead and, see maybe the winner between Anderson and Israel. You can fight Kelvin. Maybe we can do it April 13th. That's what I'm kind of looking forward to. But, let's see what happened.
Did they try to keep Kelvin on the card? Was that ever discussed?
No, that was not even discussed. I spoke to McManus, I spoke to Dana, I spoke to Hunter, and that was not discussed at all. I think the UFC still have a good main event. Anderson Silva, Israel Adesanya. I'm not sure this is going to be a 5-round or a 3-round fight. But it is what it is. And I just I feel horrible for Robert Whittaker. I feel bad for Kelvin too, but Kelvin doesn't have to go under the knife,
Right. How is he handling it? How's Kelvin handling the news?
It's cool, man. He said, I hope Robert Whittaker is okay. Kelvin was ready. We was ready. He's the best shape of his life. And we believe he was going to be the middleweight champ. But, Robert, his injury is taking him away from the fight. And like I said, just nothing but respect, and we wish him nothing but speedy recovery, and I hope he's okay.
We're talking to Ali Abdelaziz, the manager.
You're not going to hear me. I normally get me on the program, talking trash and promoting and getting on people, but this is a certain situation. We have to be human,
Absolutely.
I think everybody out there, I advise everyone to give respect. Keep Robert in my prayer, and I wish him nothing but the best, him and his whole family.
We're talking to manager Ali Abdelaziz here on Ariel Helwani's MMA show on ESPN Radio. It's presented by Uber. Breaking news out of the world of the UFC, UFC 234 tonight in Melbourne, Australia, on pay-per-view. Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum for the middleweight title canceled. That fight has been canceled because Robert Whittaker is going under the knife in a matter of moments in Australia for a hernia. Certainly wish him the best. I'm curious, Ali, is Kelvin going to get paid? How's this going to work? Because he just went through a training camp. What's the deal? I'm certain the UFC has told you what they're going to do. Can you tell us?
Yeah, listen. Dana White always come through for me, and he said he's going to take care of Kelvin, and I understand, he went through a camp and he put a lot of money into it, invested a lot of money into it, and at the end of the day, this is, I'm not worried about him not getting paid. I know he will get paid,
Thanks for doing this, Ali. Very sorry about the news. Our best to Kelvin as well. I think I speak for everyone. Everyone's bummed out about this. We were looking forward to it. I appreciate you coming on for a few minutes.
Yeah, but Dana White said he will take care. He will take care of Kelvin, and I have no doubt in my mind you know, Dana White and the UFC brass will take care of him because they're always taking care of my guys.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ali. Let's go back to the phone lines now, talk to more fans. Breaking news again, Robert Whittaker out of tonight's main event. Hernia surgery scheduled for a matter of moments from now in Melbourne. Devastating news, not only for the UFC, but for Robert Whittaker, who continues to get all these freaking bad breaks time and again. He had shingles prior to the last time that they were in Melbourne with him headlining that card. It was supposed to be against Luke Rockhold. Now, just hours before the event, he has to pull out and is going under the knife. Joseph, Detroit, how are you?
Good. How about you, Ariel?
I'm doing okay.
Good. I just got a few questions for you. That's it. First, I think they should let the winner of tonight's main event and Calvin fight for the official title. I think Whittaker should be stripped. This is just my opinion.
Well, I want to see how long he's out for. This is definitely, you know, a bad break, but I typically like to subscribe to the rule that if you don't defend your title or you're not scheduled to fight within a year, then you should be stripped. In this case, he last fought in June. So let's see how far he's out. Let's see how long he's out for, I should say. Let's see how long of a recovery this is needed. And then let's talk about stripping him. But I think right now it's a little premature to talk about stripping.
I was saying because he pulled out last year and he's had like his injuries and all that. I think it's better for him, you know, to take some time off. But my second question is, is it true they're going to make McGregor versus Cowboy for the interim? I think it should be Tony and Poirier for the interim.
Yeah, that's Donald Cerrone just talking right now. From what I'm hearing, the interim belt isn't being discussed. I don't think a belt is needed for that kind of fight. I don't think a belt elevates that kind of fight, certainly not an interim title. So at this juncture, I think that's just Cowboy talking. And look, he's going to get the fight. It seems like that's the front runner. I don't think you need to push for an interim title. I don't think anyone wants it. Quite frankly, I think the interim belt would almost like soil that fight. I don't think anyone wants to see an interim belt on the line. I don't think either guy should be fighting for an interim belt when you have guys like Tony, Dustin Poirier, and Ally Quinta doing what they've done as of late. Let's go back to the phone lines and say hello to Corey in California. Corey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Ariel. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Some disappointing news, but we still have a card tonight. But yeah, it's a bummer. These things happen from time to time in mixed martial arts. And I mean, this is a big one, especially because it's, you know, the Australian who's now out of the Australian card.
Yeah, and honestly, like you've said before, man, I don't know how these injuries happen the day of the fight. How much are you actually doing to get such a serious injury? But I don't know. It's a fight game and it happens. But so my original topic I called about is now kind of shaken up. I was going to say, do you think that Anderson is tarnishing his own legacy a little bit by taking these bigger fights with the much younger guys, or like the fights with DC or whatever? Obviously, they're bigger fights and he's a big name. And do you think that UFC is tarnishing his legacy by throwing him into a fight with Israel just because it's Anderson? But then it turns around, and now Anderson is kind of saving the card, having a big name for Israel to fight. So it's, do you think that Anderson should lay off these bigger fights, or do you think he's fine, or do you think his legacy is going to hurt in the end after all this?
Look, if we're talking about tarnishing legacies, the only thing that's maybe tarnished his legacy, so to speak, is the fact that he was caught with PEDs twice. Other than that, I mean, I don't think opponents will tarnish anyone's legacy. In fact, to me, it only elevates your legacy because you're fighting the toughest guys, even as you're, you know, in your swan song, so to speak. I like the fact that he's taking this fight. Everyone thought it was a mistake. It's an opponent that he thinks he could beat. He's 14 years older. He feels like maybe he's not as experienced as him. Maybe he hasn't fought the kind of competition that he's fought. So I don't think this is, I mean, imagine he pulls it off. Great story. It's like George Foreman. It's like Randy Couture all over again. So I honestly don't think that he's tarnishing his legacy on this one. Let's go to one quick call before we take another break. Hamilton in Ohio. What's up, man?
Ariel, it was a pleasure speaking with you. I want to go back to the UFC days. That's when I first started hearing your voice. I didn't like the way that was handled by the UFC, and I am so proud that you've come to where you're at with the hard work that you've done to put yourself in today's position.
Thank you.
Now, as far as what's happening, transpiring in Melbourne, it's sad, and that's the course of the nature of the game. My question to you is, a 43-year-old is going to now put himself in a position where he's probably going to be having to save this card. I understand that. There's not a lot of 40-some-year-old men at his weight that can do anything except maybe defend himself. Does he really have a chance this evening? And do you see this only in the heavyweight world where 40-year-olds can compete one or two times? But this gentleman is not tarnishing his world. It's just the ability of him being allowed to do this because of his name and his past of fighting. But really, realistically, can this man really compete at this level with this young kid?
I mean, that remains to be seen. I don't think it's a bad matchup for him. In fact, I'd say he's too big of an underdog. I'm curious to see if he can turn back the clock tonight. But yeah, it's a great call. It's a great point. The best news is this fight hasn't been canceled, so we're about to find out in a matter of moments, in a matter of hours, whether or not Anderson Silva can hang with Israel Adesanya. After the break, we're going to be joined by my colleague, my partner, Chael Sonnen. He's in Melbourne. I want to get his take on things. He knows Kelvin Gastelum almost better than anyone. He was the one who drafted him on The Ultimate Fighter way back when. Devastating news. Robert Whittaker is out of tonight's UFC 234 main event, and I just got details about how it all went down. I'll tell you about all that and more right after the break. You're listening to Ariel Helwani's MMA show right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA show.
You said for UFC 234 right here on Ariel Helwani's MMA show, UFC 234 coming up. Prelims, by the way, at 8 p.m. on ESPN. Pay-per-view starts at 10 p.m. Breaking news. We've been talking about it for the last hour. What great timing we have. I mean, that's the one positive in all of this. What timing? Unbelievable that this happened right as we went on the air. Robert Whittaker is out of tonight's main event. I told you I had some details. These are the details that I just found out from a source very close to Robert Whittaker. He started getting abdominal cramps and bloating late last night. Then vomiting started at about 10 p.m. He was taken to the hospital at about 2 a.m. and has had a series of tests and scans. And now, as we speak, Robert Whittaker, the UFC middleweight champion, who was supposed to headline UFC 234, in about, 9 hours from now, a little less, is currently in surgery. Fight canceled. Kelvin Gastelum left without an opponent. Horrible turn of events for all involved, especially Robert Whittaker, who continues to have bad luck. My heart breaks for him. This is the sport of MMA. It happens quite often. And when you hear those details, can't help but wonder if weight cutting had anything to do with it. I was told yesterday, best camp, felt great, looked great. Nothing was out of the ordinary. And now you hear this and you can't help but think maybe it's another weight cutting casualty. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hear from some of you. I need you as much as you need me because, like I said at the top of the show, this was a two-fight card, and now we're down to one fight. Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva. Joe in Houston. What's up, my man?
My man, Ariel. What's up? It's been a while, bro. I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Man, craziest sport to follow that we follow, man, that this can happen the day of the event. But I want to ask you about Anderson, man. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day and just talking about all the crazy finishes, the crazy fights, amazing performances from this guy. And I just want to know how you will remember him. You know, we've had the PED things. We have now, if you ask me, he's kind of fighting on too long. He maybe should have quit a little while ago after all those great performances. How will you remember Ariel? How will you remember Anderson today?
Well, you know, it's a good question because he's had so many different chapters in his career. I would be lying if I said that the PED stuff doesn't come to mind pretty early on when I think of Anderson Silva. But yeah, I think of him clowning opponents. The Forrest Griffin one, that fight at UFC 101, that was quintessential Anderson Silva. I think of that. But I also think of UFC 112 when he was clowning Damian Maia and Dana White was very upset. I think of UFC 97 when he fought Talis Latis and Dana White was very upset. So there were some great moments. There were some frustrating moments. But yes, he was brilliant. He's a guy who fought pretty much everyone. What he did to Rich Franklin, breaking his nose, devastating him with those knees when he beat Chris Lieben and was strumming the guitar and dancing. For the longest time, he was one of those guys where you just couldn't quite figure out what was going on in his mind. The Chael Sonnen feud, I thought, brought out the best in him. Coming back, you know, with 2 minutes left in that fight and submitting Chael and then doing what he did in the rematch. So certainly one of the greatest ever, but a guy who I would say at this point somewhat polarizing. And if you're not at least bringing up the PD stuff in the second or third sentence, I don't think you're being 100% honest. I want to remind you that for your Valentine, you need, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. in like, what, 5 days, you need to go to the Rose Authority, 1-800-Flowers.com. They have the best deals and bouquets around, 100%. I go there every year for my wife. I'm not just saying that. You can get 18 red roses for $29.99 or 24 assorted roses plus a vase for $10 more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com/ESPN. And today's show, as always, is presented by our good friends over at Uber. Chris in New Jersey, how are you?
Hello?
Yeah, Chris, what's up? It's Ariel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
A little bit bummed, but what's on your mind? UFC 234 doesn't have a main event. Well, it does, but not the original main event. Kind of a bummer. How are you dealing with it?
Kind of upset because I wanted to watch the card, but at this point, it's like you said, it's just a one-fight pay-per-view. I listen to your show every week, huge fan, but at this point, why didn't they do more? They usually have a backup plan. There's always someone in the wing waiting. They could have bumped up Israel or Anderson. It didn't matter.
Yeah, but then you're losing. But here's the thing: that it's not fair to say that because this happened literally a couple hours ago. And if you bump up Israel or Anderson, then you're losing the co-main event. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If Kelvin fights some other random schmo, he's not fighting for the belt, so he's in a tough spot as well. In this particular case, I don't know if there was a better solution. I agree with you. Like, if you want to skip this pay-per-view, I do not begrudge you whatsoever. It's not worth $65, but I don't think it's the UFC's fault on this one. Other than the fact that they didn't put together a really deep card.
I can agree with that. That's a pretty good statement. I mean, it's just upsetting as a fan. I don't know. I have one more question. If you had to choose, because I know you're a Knicks fan, would you choose KD or Kyrie to play with Zion?
Both? Can I pick both? That would be nice. If I had to choose one, KD. But I'd like both. We got two max slots. Let's go both. Let's go KD, let's go Kyrie, and then let's draft Zion Williamson first overall. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Ryan in Connecticut. Ryan, how are you?
Ariel, good to hear from you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm bummed for Bob, but I got to be honest, Anderson's my second favorite athlete of all time, and so I'm kind of jumping off the walls. Some brass tacks questions for you. I think this is impossible because I feel like you already would have been talking about it, but like, how does it work with a bout agreement? Is it even remotely possible that this goes to five rounds and for the interim, or is that just not feasible for a multitude of reasons?
No, actually, my colleague over at TSN in Canada, Aaron Bronstetter, just reported that it's going to be a three-round fight. So I think it's asking a lot of the guys who, you know, just trained for a three-round fight to now do five rounds just because they're the main event. So no interim title, three rounds, not five rounds. Anderson Silva versus Israel Adesanya. It's just now the last fight on the card, but nothing else has really changed. Ryan, I appreciate the call. Eldon in New York, how are you?
Listen, it's the Marathon Don out of New York. I got two things really quickly. Number one, the main event should remain a number one contender spot. I believe that Kelvin Gastelum should just work his way back. I want to get your thoughts on that. And number two, stop giving press time to Ali, man. That guy talks way too much. You got to stay behind the scenes and work out these deals.
Now, fair enough, although he manages like some of the biggest names, including Kelvin Gastelum, who was affected by today's news. So I understand that some don't like him, that he's a polarizing figure, but he's still one of the more influential managers in the game. I appreciate the call. All right, we got to take a break. After the break, we're going to be joined by Brett Okamoto, who's in Melbourne, who broke the news. Robert Whittaker out of UFC 234. We're going to talk to Alexander Volkanovsky about all of this as well. Derek Brunson. So much more to discuss. Appreciate all the calls. I love you all. Stick around. Right after this, we'll talk to Brett about this big news. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
It's hour two of the program here on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and the ESPN app. This is Ariel Helwani's MMA Show, presented by Uber. You can reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. Guests are brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetics on the Pennzoil Performance Hotline, taking synthetic motor oil performance to a whole new level. Make the switch to Pennzoil Synthetics today. So when I asked Brett, who's in Melbourne, to join us on the show last night, I figured we'd talk about the scene. I figured we'd talk about his week there. I figured we'd talk about the two big fights on the card, the middleweight title fight in particular between Robert Whittaker and Kelvin Gastelum. In case you missed it, that fight is now off. That fight has been canceled. It was canceled around 35 or so minutes ago. Brett Okamoto of ESPN broke the news. Now let us talk to him about said news. He joins us on the phone. Brett, thanks for doing this. How are you?
It's a crazy sport we cover, isn't it, Ariel?
I mean, it's unbelievable, and the UFC has had to deal with situations like this in the past. This one is pretty unique because it's the hometown guy fighting in Australia, first opportunity to fight there. For those that may have missed it, may have missed your report, either on ESPN.com or on Twitter, tell us what happened.
Yeah, so, you know, Robert Whittaker's looking ready to go. I mean, I saw him yesterday, and I saw him at the open workouts. And if anything, you know, as you mentioned, I was planning on coming on the show with you today and talking about how good he looks. You know, this is a former welterweight, and he's fighting a middleweight, and he doesn't look that way. You know, he's added size to his frame. He looks athletic. He looks in his prime. He's 28 years old. This is going to be his opportunity to make up for having to miss out on defending the title in Australia last year because he had injuries. And everything looked that way until last night when he started to complain of pain in his abdomen. It got to a point, obviously, where they had to take him to the hospital, find out what was going on. He was diagnosed with a hernia, and then things developed very quickly, and the guy is heading in for surgery today. So obviously best wishes go to Rob. I'm sure, you know, his health is first and foremost, but his disappointment after having this happen to him again 2 years in a row, I just can't even imagine that. It's unbelievable.
And you had the opportunity to speak to UFC President Dana White about all this. What's his mood like? How is he handling the news?
He said, and I didn't include this in my report, but he said further breaking news is Dana White is being rushed to the hospital because he jumped from the balcony of his hotel room. Unfortunately, he was only on the third floor, so he was only just mildly maimed, and they are taking him to the hospital. That was the joke that he told me over the phone. I mean, of course he's disappointed. This is the second time, as I mentioned, that he tried to put the Australian champion in Australia. The country is excited for it. And not only is the country excited for it, but it's an opportunity to get the country more excited about it. You know, I think Robert Whittaker can be even a bigger star in Australia, but he needs the opportunity to fight here. He needs the big fights. This card was all completely set up, you know, for him to do that, not only fighting Kelvin Gastelum in the main event, but also having that Israel Adesanya, Anderson Silva co-main event. It was all perfect. It was all great. And now we lose it, you know, less than 6 hours before it was supposed to happen.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, he reminds me a lot of GSP in the sense that he doesn't talk a lot. He's not very flashy. He doesn't trash talk. But you put him in his home country like they did with GSP in Canada, and that makes him come across as a bigger star. Like even this week at the press conferences and whatnot, he came across like a bigger star. So this opportunity to fight in front of his hometown crowd, home country, if you will, is a big deal for him moving forward because there's a trickle-down effect. Like when we saw Stipe fight in Cleveland, Connor fight in Dublin, you know, Anderson when he came back to Brazil. It's a big deal. And now second time in a row, as you said, and for two very weird things like shingles last year, now a hernia, you know, 8 hours or so before the fight. Horrible luck for Robert Whittaker. And this sport, as you know, Brett, everyone is so ruthless. Everyone cares about what's next. You know, no one really has compassion. No one has a heart. And so now all the comments that I'm getting, all the calls that I'm getting, strip them. They need to move on. Let's be ruthless here for a second. Let's not be compassionate, even though I feel like it's a weird thing to talk about. Do you think they should strip him, given the fact that he hasn't been very active?
No, of course not. I mean, I know that he had the hand injury that delayed this title fight to begin with, and now you're delaying it further. But you know, the guy didn't go out there and break his leg. I mean, he's got a hernia. He's going to have surgery. I don't know exactly how quickly he'll be able to come back from that, but the expected time frame of that is about, you know, it's months. It's not like he's going to be out for an entire year. So you absolutely don't strip him. I can understand why people are upset, and so they jump off the ledge and they want to go to that immediately, but no, you don't strip him. The most unfortunate thing, though, is that it really does throw off the timing of this. Like, the timing was perfect. It was all perfect. I was convinced that at the end of UFC 234, we were going to get that moment. I even asked Israel Adesanya about it. Earlier this week, I asked him, is there a chance that we could see one of those things where you resurface? Like, if you beat Anderson Silva, and then instead of waiting in the back and watching the fight from the locker room, that maybe you're out there and maybe you even get into the octagon if Robert Whittaker beats Kelvin Gastelum. And he just laughed and gave me a fist bump, which I took to mean, yes, that was all going to be set up. And as long as these two guys did their job, that we were going to have that visual and that image of Robert Whittaker looking at Israel Adesanya. And it would have been the most perfect setup to a big-time middleweight title fight for later this year. That, to me, I think is the biggest thing. I Robert Whittaker is going to remain the champion, but now the timing is all off.
Sure.
Because now what happens in that new main event, You know, where does Kelvin Gastelum now fall in all of this? It really messes everything up.
Phenomenal point. We're talking to Brett Okamoto, who's in Melbourne, Australia right now to cover UFC 234. In case you missed it, Robert Whittaker, the middleweight champion, who was scheduled to defend his title against Kelvin Gastelum this evening on pay-per-view at the Rod Laver Arena, forced to pull out of the card on just a few hours' notice. He's going under the knife right now, surgery scheduled for right now because he's suffering from a hernia. And that's a phenomenal point because now this almost weakens the stakes for the co-main event, right? The best thing about the co-main event, other than the fact that it was, you know, the clone fight, troll versus troll, it was a number one contender fight, but you're 100% right. How do you now bypass Kelvin Gastelum? So it now just feels like another fight. Which, you know, to me, if I'm a fan buying this pay-per-view, now I have to start thinking, like, is this really worth my $65? But that's a great point on your part, Brett. That co-main event, or now it's the main event, Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva, is now just another fight because it wouldn't be fair to Kelvin Gastelum to bypass him. Do you know if they even talked about doing that fight for the interim belt? Was that even discussed?
I don't think it was discussed. You know, I think that they really like they like the Adesanya-Silva fight. You know, there's a lot to like about that fight. I don't think you can blow that fight up. You know, if I put myself in the matchmaker's shoes, I don't want to blow up that fight. You know, and for what? What are you going to do? You're going to Kelvin Gastelum isn't the hometown guy. You know, it'd be different if we were in Kelvin Gastelum's hometown and all the fans had come out to see him. But I think it's a terrible situation, right? There's no ideal way to play this. But I think if you're given those cards, then Kelvin Gastelum is unfortunately the one that misses out, you know. And I think I know you spoke to his agent earlier. I think that he's probably like same deal. I mean, what does he want to do? Fight one of those guys? Right. Are they going to create an interim title? I think that this is the best outcome that they could have had given the circumstances as they were.
And I spoke to another source close to Kelvin who told me that he's very emotional right now. He's crying. He's devastated. I mean, I don't think people sometimes consider this stuff about like the months that they put in for this just one fight. And then you never know when you're going to get another title fight and it's snatched away from you. You fly from California to Australia, to fight for the belt, and then it gets taken away from you on just a few hours notice. I can't imagine what's going through Kelvin Gastelum's mind right now. You're not at the arena yet. So if I ask you about like the mood in Melbourne right now, it's impossible for you to say. I'd imagine it's going to be very like sort of somber, right? At the arena. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I would think so, man. I was in that arena yesterday, and it was going to be such a great atmosphere for Robert Whittaker. I mean, he's fought there before, but the way the arena is built, you know, you and I, we go around to these arenas, and the UFC does a great job of making them all look and feel the same, and really they do, you know, and they're almost kind of built the same. They're just like interchangeable. But this one, it's got a low ceiling on it. It seems like it's one of those arenas where it feels like the fans are kind of right on top of the action. It's a day game. I would imagine that, you know, the Aussies will be drinking a little bit leading up to that main event. It was just going to be so outstanding. I was really looking for the atmosphere was as big of a draw to this card as really anything else, in my opinion. It was one of those cards where the atmosphere plays a character in the entire thing. And I'm still expecting it to be loud in there, and I'm expecting it to be a good atmosphere because I like that arena. I like the way that the fans are basically sitting on the octagon in it, and I'm expecting it to be loud, but how can it be the same? It will not be the same as it was without Robert Whittaker.
Great stuff, Brett. Appreciate you doing this. I know you're very busy over there. Follow Brett on Twitter, BOkamotoESPN, because he's going to be at the arena in a matter of moments, and he'll set the scene for us, and he's also going to be providing a ton of coverage from the arena all night long. So do follow him on Twitter. Appreciate you coming on short notice here, Brett, and thanks for all the information. Horrible news for Robert Whittaker. Looking forward to more of your reports later tonight.
Thanks, Ariel.
All right. Let's squeeze in one call. Can we do that before we go to break? Let's do it. Let's go to Camilo in Oregon. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Ariel? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's so funny?
Oh, man, this is crazy. I mean, I've been a fan of yours for such a long time now. I listen to every single one of your shows. I got ESPN Plus just for you. And now it's crazy that I'm actually because I called like 25 times.
I appreciate it. Quick comment before we got to go to break in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, listen, man, I just want to say congrats on everything. And, yeah, what a bummer about Whittaker. Who is your underdog pick for tomorrow night?
Oh, man. Tonight. It's actually tonight. Underdog pick. Gosh, I haven't looked at all the lines. Why not Anderson? Take a flyer on Anderson. The old man turning back the clock. He's the biggest underdog that he's ever been going into a UFC fight. Why not? I think he's plus 400 at this point. I think it's a little big. Israel thinks it's a little big. So why not Anderson Silva? All right. After the break, I have finally located Chael Sonnen. He's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on what just happened to Robert Whittaker. UFC 234 has drastically changed. Main event off. We'll talk to Chael about that right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Getting you set for UFC 234, the drastically different UFC 234 here on Ariel Helwani's MMA Show on ESPN Radio. It is presented by Uber. Let us not waste any time. Let's go to my partner, Chael Sonnen, who is standing by in Melbourne. We've been trying to call him for like an hour. I think he's enjoying the breakfast there at the Hyatt. Chael, are you there?
No, I will tell you, it's a fantastic buffet here. What is happening, Ariel?
Chael, I don't know if you heard the news.
A lot of news today,
the main event is off. Your immediate thoughts, Robert Whittaker out.
I just heard. Okay, my immediate thoughts is when I first heard it, this was a nasty, dirty, filthy rumor, but it turns out it's true. Dana White himself went on ESPN, as I'm sure you've already told everybody. But for our late-listening fans, there you go. Yeah, it's official. Whittaker's out. And I don't know what they're going to do, Ariel. Generally, when Dana goes on a show like ESPN and delivers news like that, he then delivers the Band-Aid he's putting over it. For example, Anderson is moving up and the title's still on the line, or both. Whittaker and Gassler mount, but now the Adesanya-Anderson fight is 5 rounds up to the interim title. Generally, something like that happens. That didn't happen, but I'll also remind you, for the pay-per-views in recent memory, they've always put somebody in the bullpen. They've always weighed somebody in just in case. This is the first one in a meaningful period of time, roughly 11 months, that they haven't done that, and it came back to bite them. I feel terrible.
Have you talked to Kelvin Gastelum? I know you're close with him. Have you had a chance to speak to him?
No, only because I imagine everybody is trying to, and I just wanted to give him some space.
Yeah. We're talking to Chael Sonnen, who's in Melbourne right now. He's on his way to the venue. I'm imagining the crowd is going to be a lot more somber than was expected, probably very down that their guy Robert Whittaker is out of UFC 234. So now, Chael, a lot of people saying Robert should be stripped of the belt. Are you in that camp, or do you think that's unfair?
Ariel, I don't have enough information. I am literally just gathering all of this. And again, I did not even believe it was true. I'm having a little more hard time getting information out here than you are, even though I'm a mile from the venue and you're in a whole other continent. But you got this first. I didn't even believe it was true. So I've got to get some more info. This is not good. This is not good news. But no, I am not ready to form an opinion like that yet.
Okay, Israel Adesanya is fighting Anderson Silva now in the new main event. It's been bumped up. It's going to be a 3-round non-title fight, no interim belt on the line. So it's the same fight that we are getting. But here's something interesting, Chael, that I was talking about with Brett in the last segment. It feels to me now like the stakes for that fight have just been weakened, right? Because that was supposed to be a number one contender fight. And you know, we thought that the winner of that fight was going to fight the winner of Whittaker and Gastelum. But now you can't skip over Kelvin Gastelum. So now it feels like that's just a fight on the card, right? It doesn't feel like it's as important as it was 24 hours ago.
Yeah, that's right. And you and I can't report this, but you and I could at least guess from knowing this industry as long as we do and knowing the president, Dana White, as long as we do, that he's already made those phone calls, that he tried to elevate this to a 5-round fight. I think it would be fair to guess that he offered to put an interim belt up. What we also know about Anderson Silva, if you will date back to UFC 200, he went up and fought Daniel Cormier, the reigning light heavyweight champion of the world, but he was defiant that without proper notice, he would only fight 3 rounds. I'm going to guess for you that conversation happened, and Anderson said, look, Dan, I'll keep fighting, but I just simply won't do the 5 rounds. I don't know that that's either here nor there. I would just speculate that Dana's probably not got very much sleep tonight.
I know you're just waking up and you're getting set to go to the arena, Chael, but how about Cowboy Cerrone going on Twitter and pulling off a Chael Sonnen? Like, this is Chael 101 throwing his hat into the proverbial ring and saying, oh, hey, I'll fight Kelvin Gastelum on 4 hours' notice. It's the greatest move possible, right? Because you know there's no chance that they're actually going to call his number, but now you look like a hero. This is Chael 101.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, listen, I already talked to Scott Coker. He told me that I could fill in tonight. If they want to move Adesanya against Kelvin, I'll take on Anderson. And if anybody in Australia has a mouthpiece and an extra, extra, extra large cup, I'll do it.
Okay, I want to get your thoughts quickly, and we'll talk later on tonight, by the way, on YouTube and Twitter. Our pre-fight show will air at 7 p.m. Eastern time, so do check that out as well. But sometimes when you have counter-striker versus counter-striker, Chael, sometimes it ends up being a really boring fight. Are you worried that the Adesanya versus Silva fight will actually end up being really boring?
No, I'm not. But I was never expecting like a slugfest to begin with. I've also pushed back. I hear many people describe Adesanya as a counter-striker. I find him to be more aggressive, I guess, than other people who have watched his fights and broken him down. I think when he's in there with somebody a little bit sloppier, his MMA career, by example, they are sloppier strikers. I mean, he's a very dynamic professional kickboxer with over 30 kickboxing and Muay Thai fights combined. But if you go watch those kickboxing fights, I found him to be the aggressor, the guy that would stalk the opponent, walk them down and attack. So I don't know that I fully agree that he is a counter striker. But no, I never thought this fight was going to be fireworks. Look, when you get an older cagey guy, and Anderson Silva is a very intelligent, strategic fighter, it isn't always that fun to watch. So no, I never had huge hopes for this in terms of that. But I do think something very special happens. And I think a number one contendership, not for nothing, but it is a very meaningful fight.
Chael, I've only been to Melbourne once. That was for UFC 193, Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey. And there was a fly epidemic in that town. I mean, there were flies everywhere. How's the fly situation in Melbourne right now? Because that's the reason why I'm not there. I said, no way. When our boss, Glenn Jacobs, told us that we're going to Melbourne, I said, no, I'm not going. Too many flies. How's the fly situation?
Yes, you did. And I will tell you, if you go near the water,
yes,
and there is a beautiful lake here, if you go near the water, there are flies everywhere. If you don't go near the water, you may never see one.
It's horrible. And is it true that you got pulled over like your first hour there upon landing? Is that true?
It's very true, but it's still questionable as to what we were pulled over for. We were cited for speeding. They said we were going 100, but I have no way to know because that's not miles. That's kilometers.
Yeah.
I have no frame of reference for what that is. However, I also think we might have been pulled over for Grand Theft Auto because when we left the rental car place, we went through the wrong exit, but we didn't know how to not. That's where we ended up, and we couldn't back up. There's cars behind us. So when we left, somebody was yelling. Somebody was like yelling through this intercom, and we heard them as we were pulling away. And I don't know what we were pulled over for, but we were a little bit worried that they weren't going to be so understanding. But after about an hour and a $400 ticket, we made it to the hotel.
Okay, thank God. Later tonight, Chael, Gilbert Melendez, Brett Okamoto, John Anik, they'll all be there for the post-fight coverage as well. I'll talk to you at 7 o'clock, Chael. Thanks for doing this.
I look forward to it. See you, Hawani.
All right, there he is, Chael P. Sonnen in Melbourne, Australia. All right, coming up after the break, we'll talk to Derek Brunson, middleweight contender, who has fought Robert Whittaker, who has fought Israel Adesanya, who has fought Anderson Silva, and I want to get his thoughts on the now new main event for UFC 234. Do not go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
All right, welcome back to the show. Ariel Helwani here with you on ESPN Radio, on the ESPN app, on SiriusXM Channel 80. This is Ariel Helwani's MMA Show, presented by our good friends over at Uber. Still a couple phone lines open. Appreciate everyone who is standing by. I'm going to get to all of you, I promise. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, that's 1-888-729-3776. Breaking news, Robert Whittaker is out of tonight's UFC 234 card due to a hernia. He's under the knife right now. Surgery happening right now in Melbourne. So the new main event is Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva. That's the big news of the day. And if you're a basketball fan, there's a big game going on at the same time as the UFC 234 prelim. So let me remind you that the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as James Harden and the Rockets host Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. So I wanted to have Derek Brunson, UFC middleweight contender, on the program because he has fought Robert Whittaker, Israel Adesanya, and Anderson Silva. He's the only man on the planet who has fought all three of those individuals. Wanted to get his insight on all that and more. He joins us right now on the phone. Derek, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ariel?
I'm doing really well. I don't know if you've been on your phone over the past hour or so, but did you hear about Robert Whittaker pulling out of the event?
Absolutely. I was at the gym training, and when I got home, took a shower, sat down, and then I get a text from a couple of people saying that Robert Whittaker was out of the fight. I was like, man, that is just crazy. But, hey, MMA, expect the wild things to happen.
It's an unbelievable sport, and it seems like these things happen in our sport more often than not. It's crazy. So the new main event is Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva. You have fought both those men. Your last fight was against Israel. I thought you beat Anderson Silva at UFC 208, you know, right across the river here in Brooklyn, New York. How do you see this fight going down? Because I think there are some people who think that it's a mismatch. There are some people who think it's not going to be exciting because it's two counter-strikers going toe-to-toe. Some people think that, you know, Israel is going to smoke Anderson. You know these guys better than anyone. How do you see it going down?
Yeah, it's one of, I mean, with Anderson, he's one of those guys. When I fought him, I had a lot of respect for his style. So regardless of his age, he's like a career martial artist. So you don't want to approach him just any kind of way. With Adesanya, you know, you look at him, you think his frame, you know, you're like, okay, I can get this guy out of here. I know he's tricky. I know he's, you know, slick on his feet. But it's just a different level. We see more from Anderson, and we know what he can do, opposed to we have a lesser sampling of Adesanya.
Are you surprised Anderson took this fight?
No, I'm not surprised. He's one of the guys, you know, he's done a lot in this sport. It's not many fights that he can come back to. It's not many fights that he can fight. So whenever, you know, it's a big fight coming up, I mean, you got to throw his name in the hat.
So considering the fact that you fought both of them, do you agree that they're similar fighters, that their styles are similar? Like, as the opponent, you know, that meme that everyone's passing around of the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other like it's, you know, clone versus clone here. Do you feel like that's accurate, or are they actually a lot more different than we think?
I think they're pretty similar on the feet. You know, obviously Anderson is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. You know, if it goes to the ground, he can make it pretty interesting. Adesanya's fast. He's young. He's, you know, really motivated and really believing what he's saying right now. But, yeah, when on the feet, Anderson might have a little bit more tricks and more of a veteran. You know, Adesanya just going to have a slight speed advantage.
Who do you like in the fight?
I think Adesanya will get it done. I'm not counting Anderson out by any means, but I think Adesanya get it done. It depends how he approaches the fight, you know. I think early he might try to, you know, feel the pressure of, hey, I need to get something done. I need to finish this guy. You know, I need to make a statement because everybody's, you know, talking about, oh, he's washed up, he's old. So he might get, you know, touched up a little bit early, and I believe he'll settle in and probably, you know, get a little smarter and approach the later rounds smarter and win the fight.
So you think it goes the distance?
I'm not sure that it goes the distance, but I believe maybe second round.
Okay. And let's talk about you before we let you go. Do you know when you're fighting again?
Oh, yeah. We're looking to get something booked in May. We're still working on it. I haven't signed a contract. Me and a guy agreed to fight. So we're just waiting on the contract and waiting for an official date.
Is that man from Canada?
It's the Canadian man.
Oh, yes. Mr. Elias.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. I think we'll mix it up next. So.
Okay, is that going to be in Ottawa on May 4th?
That's what we're looking at.
All right. Derek Brunson with some breaking news here on the program. Derek, I appreciate it very much. Great insight from you. And I was going to ask you about fighting Robert Whittaker as well, but no need for that now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this, Derek. Looking forward to your return in May.
No worries. Thank you.
All right, there's Derek Brunson. Great insight. So he is picking Israel Adesanya tonight. Now let's go back to the phone lines, talk to some of you. Ryan, in the UK. Where exactly in the UK are you from, Ryan?
I'm in Southampton.
All right, Southampton. How are you?
Yeah, well, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Good, man. I got two questions for you. Okay. So I visit the US quite a lot, and I'm going to be in SoCal sort of mid-April time. I just wanted to know if you've got any info regarding UFC 236, like a few rumors hanging around. I saw Ali on the show earlier talking about tonight's new main event winner potentially fighting Calvin.
Yeah.
And then my second question is, what do you think's next for Regional? Connor and Cowboy are kind of, there's a lot of talk with that. Like Dustin and Tony seem to be kind of intertwined a little bit. Habib's out until sort of August, September, apparently. So yeah. That's it, man.
Okay, two great questions. Thank you for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it very much. For Al, I know there's interest in him fighting Dustin Poirier. Nothing close to done. They were going back and forth. I think Poirier wants a new contract, but I wouldn't be surprised if they try to go down that route. As far as 236 is concerned, that's April 13th. They've been talking about a few different locations. I had heard Abu Dhabi discussed. I had heard MSG discussed. No venue, from the best of my knowledge, has been locked in as of right now. They wanted Khabib to do that PSA and fight Tony Ferguson as soon as April. But he's not going to do that, and he's probably going to sit out, you know, up until November and hope to return at MSG. So as of right now, I know they've talked to a few people about main events, but no main event or venue slash location locked in for 236, which is scheduled for April 13th. Marv in Denver, how are you?
Great. I'm doing great. Ariel, I enjoy your show, and I've always enjoyed listening to you.
Thanks so much.
Truth is stranger than fiction, and I think most people would say that Adesanya would be the favorite, and I know he is, but, you know, in light of the fact that there's a disappointing result in not having the main event, you know, and not having a backup, you know, plan, I think Dana White deserves, a win by Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva, I think he's going to be the smarter fighter. And I think that knowing that Adesanya will probably be a little more the aggressor in the fight, I think that Anderson will be more defensive. And I think he may come out on top and shock people.
All right. You heard it here from Marv. I appreciate that. Great call. Billy in Louisiana, how are you?
Well, man, how about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. A little bummed about Robert Whittaker, but now starting to get over it. I'm excited for the main event. The rest of the card a little thin, but you know how these things go. Sometimes the thin cards, they produce fun ones.
All right, man, I got two questions for you, if that's all right.
All right, let's go.
So the first one is, he's promoted, he's an interim champion, then he didn't really unify the belt, he's more or less promoted, and now he gets injured, hasn't really defended. Would you say that Whittaker is the unluckiest champion in UFC history?
If he's not the unluckiest, he's certainly like one or two. But yeah, top of the mind right now, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. Shingles last year, this year, as you said, yes, promoted, never defended the belt. The Romero situation in June, so it was an official title fight. This has been a bizarre title reign, 100%.
And then one more question for you. So you also have situations where UFC, they like to stack their cards, you know, multiple title fights. But then you see the situation in April. They don't even have a venue for it, so how would you suggest they go about when they don't have a fight even for an April pay-per-view or even a venue for that matter?
I mean, these things have happened in the past where they need to scramble. I think it's, you know, part of the reason for why this happens is they put too many title fights on, you know, on cards, like the one coming up in March, two title fights. Now you're left with no title fight in April. I think every pay-per-view should have one title fight. I don't think there are enough champions. I don't think there are enough active champions to have two, sometimes three on these cards. I think they need to start spreading them out a little more so that you're not faced with 230 where you have Daniel Cormier coming back, you know, with a broken hand and Lewis coming back on short notice to fight in 3 weeks' time, or this situation April 13th. They're trying to do two title fights in May as well. They're going to do a couple in July. To me, they need to do one and then sometimes sprinkle them out, have two. But, you know, you're left with an empty cupboard sometimes when you have two all the time. Let's go to one more call and then we'll take a quick break. Chris in Toronto, how are you?
Not bad. How about you, Ariel?
I'm not bad.
Okay. My question was, well, first of all, can't wait to watch the Habs lose tonight to my precious Maple Leafs.
Oh, my God. Hang up
second
on Chris.
All,
no, I'm kidding.
When is Ariel and the Bad Guy coming to Canada? Please tell me.
Okay. There have been talks about it coming to TSN. That's all I can really say, but it is in the works. As you may have noticed, my show is on TSN 5 every Wednesday, the Monday show. They are talking about Ariel and the Bad Guy coming to TSN in some capacity very soon. A lot of people want it there. Please be patient. I told you, be patient. I got your back. People were mad at me when I went to ESPN. They were afraid that they couldn't see my stuff, hear my stuff. Slowly but surely, you're getting it all. Just be patient on this one, all right? Okay, more of your calls after the break. UFC 234 coming up. I'll be back on Twitter and YouTube with Chael Sonnen and the guys at 7 p.m., but we got a little over 45 minutes left on this program, so more of your calls coming up after the break. You're listening to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Uber on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Welcome back to the show. Ariel Helwani here with you for the next 45 minutes or so, getting you ready for UFC 234 in case you missed it. Main event canceled. Robert Whittaker out. He's undergoing surgery right now for a hernia. Bummer. I'm so bummed. I'm so depressed right now. Two-fight card. Now it's a one-fight card. I'm going to hear from all of you in a second. We're going to take more calls. This is Ariel Helwani's MMA show on ESPN Radio. It is presented by Uber. You can also listen on SiriusXM Channel 80, also on the ESPN app. If you want to call us, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. UFC just issued an official statement on the main event. Here it is. Due to a severe abdominal injury requiring emergency surgery, UFC middleweight champion Robert Whittaker has been forced to withdraw from his UFC 234 main event against Kelvin Gastelum. The new main event, which airs live on pay-per-view, will be a three-round middleweight bout between Anderson Silva and Israel Adesanya. Elevated to the co-main is the lightweight matchup between Albuquerque action hero, sounds like he's a superhero, Lando Venata and surging Brazilian Marcos Mariano. Due to the change in the main event, customers may request a full refund of their purchase tickets at the point of sale. So there you have it. You can get a refund if you want to bow out. But who's going to bow out like 2 hours before the event? What a bummer. Victor, New York, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Ariel?
I'm okay. What's on your mind?
Do you have any idea if Gastelum has a fight for tonight or like maybe something coming up soon?
He does not have a fight. Obviously, he was supposed to fight Robert Whittaker. Fight's been canceled. I'm hearing that he's going to get paid, so that is good news. And then we'll find out how long Whittaker will be out for. Pretty serious surgery. Does he fight someone else? Do they do an interim title? It's all very fresh. He's very emotional, I was told, from another source. So we'll have to wait and see on Gastelum's future. William in North Carolina, what's going on?
Hi, Ariel. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks.
Question. Why didn't Dana and the UFC have a backup like they've done in the past UFC events?
That's a great question, and that's one really that they can only answer. They did have the co-main event featuring two middleweights, but you don't want to bump one of those guys up because now you lose, you know, you lose that fight. I think it needs to be SOP at this point, standard operating procedure. Have a backup fighter in case something goes wrong. But in this case, honestly, I think it might have been a situation where it could not have been salvaged, because if you're Kelvin Gastelum, you're about to fight the champion. Do you really want to fight someone on short notice, like 3 hours notice? Like, we have to remember, these guys aren't rock'em sock'em robots. And this kind of stuff happens, unfortunately, in this sport. Weight cutting, all kinds of issues happen at the 11th hour. If I'm Kelvin, I'm not taking that fight unless a belt is on the line. If a belt's on the line, then I'm taking it. But if it's not, if it's just to, like, quote unquote, save the day, I'm not taking that fight. So I don't even know if it mattered if there was a backup fighter on standby, because he now has to, like, it could be a drastically different fighter. His mindset is all thrown off. I mean, he's emotional. You can't do that to the guy. Joe in Staten Island, how are you?
Hey, Ariel. First off, I just want to say congratulations on all the success you're having at ESPN, man. You're really changing the game for just reporting in sports, and all sports, not just MMA, man.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you about the main event. Do you think if this happened, because like you said, I heard what you just said about Gastelum on 3 hours' notice. That's crazy. You can't, even with the backup, you can't expect him to want to fight anybody like that. Do you think if this happened maybe 3 days ago, Adesanya would be in the main event right now against Gastelum for an interim?
Now that's a fascinating question. 3 days ago, what happens? That's honestly a question that I couldn't answer. I think there's a much better chance of someone getting bumped up. But again, I would actually think it's more likely that they just would have canceled it and we would have had more time to process this, like the Max Holloway situation against Brian Ortega, because you have a situation where Kelvin Gastelum is going to say it's almost the exact same situation, except in that particular instance, it happened 3 days before. Gastelum's Ortega, he's going to sit out and wait. You know, he's worked too hard to get a title fight. Why should he fight someone else? Why should he fight for an interim belt? Why should he fight for a non-title fight? I mean, like, it just doesn't make any sense. And I think that Israel versus Anderson is actually a bigger fight in terms of names, in terms of notoriety, in terms of interest. So they'll probably feel like, all right, you know, we'll just bump that up. So my guess, of course, we wouldn't know. Hindsight, you know, we don't have that benefit in this case. But my guess would be they just would have canceled the main event and bumped Anderson and Israel to the main event. And it would have been the same situation that we're dealing with right now. Let's go to Sergio in Chicago. Sergio, how are you?
I'm doing very well, man. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Good, man. Hey, first of all, I just want to let you know, man, I love your show, man, and you've definitely actually inspired me to do my own podcast, which I started about a year ago, man, so thank you for that.
Keep it up.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely, man. But what I wanted to ask you today is, like, do you actually believe with Whitaker being taken off this card and possibly being injury prone, should there actually be an interim belt, or should he even be stripped? And if Adesanya actually does get a W today, does he surpass McGregor as possibly one of the biggest stars in MMA?
He will not surpass McGregor. I mean, I think it's a little too soon for that. I think it's reckless on my part to talk about him being stripped. We don't know how the surgery went. We don't know how he's going to feel. We don't know what his timetable is for a return. So I don't think it's fair right now to talk about interim, talk about him being stripped, any of that stuff. Let's just wait. I think the biggest sort of turn of events here, other than the main event getting canceled, is we don't know what the stakes are anymore for the Anderson-Israel fight anymore, right? Because, like, that was supposed to be a number one contender fight. Now, what is it? If Kelvin is still next, what is that fight? That's just another fight, and who knows what happens, you know, in the next few months with some other contender rising up. So I think that those guys should be kind of bummed as well. I mean, they're probably just focusing on the fight. They're professionals. They want to go out there and win. At this point, there's just, you know, a few more hours before the fight is about to commence. But to me, that's the biggest trickle-down effect. All of a sudden, the number one contender fight doesn't really feel like a number one contender fight anymore. Dylan in Ontario, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Where in Ontario are you calling from?
London.
London, Ontario. I like it. What's on your mind?
Where you, I was just going to ask you, do you have any worries that Israel is being rushed, similar to how Till and Ngannou were sort of rushed into title shots and we saw that they weren't quite ready yet?
Great point. I'm not worried. I don't think Anderson Silva is Tyron Woodley. I don't think Anderson Silva is Stipe Miocic. He's not a champion. His better days are behind him. He's 43, so I can understand, but you know, look at his last fight, Derek Brunson. Prior to that, Brad Tavares. I mean, I thought earlier on they were rushing him too quickly. This was a fight that I was in favor of, and quite frankly, I didn't understand why everyone was hating on it. It's the perfect fight. In the fight game, you kill off the old with the young. That's what they're trying to do here with Israel Adesanya. Eric in New York, how are you?
Good. First time, long time.
What? New York, Rick? Is that you?
It is my debut.
You're such an amateur. Your speaker is on. I'm hearing feedback. You amateur? Turn down your radio.
Oh. How about now?
Yes, much better. What's on your mind? We have a minute.
Quickly, I mean, first of all, I'm offended you didn't call me about Israel Adesanya. Unlike the rest of these jamokes, I haven't been watching him for, 2 months. I've known about him for a long time. But to the point, I think this is a best-case scenario for Israel Adesanya, contrary to what you may have said earlier, because I think the pressure is off to have to worry about that title opportunity, what Robert Whittaker is going to do. If he went out and didn't have the performance of his lifetime against Anderson Silva, it looks bad if Robert Whittaker then comes back and follows that up.
New York Rick, I didn't realize that you were waiting on hold for the last hour. I would have gone to you sooner. Unfortunately, we're out of time in the segment. I'm so sorry. I love you, New York Rick. I miss you. Alexander Volkanovsky is next. Don't go anywhere. We'll get his thoughts on all of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Ariel Helwani's MMA Show on ESPN Radio. It is presented by Uber. You can listen to us on SiriusXM Channel 80, the ESPN app. Anywhere in the world, we got callers from all over the place. By the way, tune in today for college basketball action as Duke battles Virginia. It is presented by Peloton. Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Speaking of going international, let's go back to Melbourne. Standing by is one of the best fighters on the planet. He is 19-1. He is coming off a huge win over Chad Mendes. He is a teammate of one Israel Adesanya's. He is the one and only Alexander Volkanovsky. Alex, how are you?
I'm very good, mate. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Alex. Well, you're there. I'm wondering if you can paint the picture for us. We just got that horrible news that Robert Whittaker is out. He's undergoing surgery right now for the hernia. I don't think you're at the arena because it sounds pretty quiet from where you're calling from, but could you tell us what's the mood like? I would imagine everyone's a little bit bummed.
Yeah, I got up and got up pretty early and went to the buffet, and as we were eating, I ended up seeing the news. But yeah, it's not really good, is it? You know, I feel pretty bad for the guy, or for Gaslam as well, I guess, but it's a bit unfortunate. But, you know, obviously something's happened with that hernia. I don't know probably any more than you know. You probably know more than me, but yeah, supposedly something happened last night and
didn't feel good, and then he went to the hospital, and yeah, it's not looking good for him. So I think he's getting surgery right now too. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. Now, you share the same management team as Robert Whittaker, correct? I would imagine
you've seen him
this past week. Like, were there any signs that he was not feeling well?
No, not that I know of. No, he was fine. He cut the weight, so you know what I mean. Like he was cutting all the weight and all that sort of stuff. So if it was something outside of what really happened, I'm sure, you know, he wouldn't have bothered making weight and stuff like that. So something must have happened last night. But yeah, I do have the same manager as his, but yeah, I don't know nothing. I haven't really talked to them yet, so I might get the inside information. I might let you know what happened, mate.
I appreciate
that. I really don't know what's going on.
No, but you know, you bring up a good point regarding weight cutting, because sometimes after the fact we see things happen in the body. It's not the first time that someone has gone sick, had to go to the hospital after a weight cut. We haven't been told that it's weight cut related, but I can't help but feel like it might be related. Is that something that came to mind as well?
You know, to me, yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, you know, it was a hernia there, but from the weight cut, is that why the pain started coming?
Right.
And that's how they found it. You know, who knows, you know, really what's happened. But yeah, at the same time, you know, obviously we all know that, you know, weight cut is not the healthiest thing for an athlete, but you know, I don't think that's what it was, but, you know, it is hard to look around that, isn't it?
Yeah, and Rob's management said that they will issue a statement later tonight. Hopefully we'll get more insight into what happened. Now, you're also a teammate of one Israel Adesanya, who is fighting now in the main event against Anderson Silva. I would imagine that you've been around him. You know what his mindset is like. Have you talked to him, Alex, in the last 24 hours? Because I was surprised to see how he reacted to Anderson crying on the stage, and I'm starting to feel a little worried that maybe he's giving him a little too much respect, that he's a little too, quote-unquote, shook, as the kids would say, that, you know, the reaction that he had was something I've never seen before. Is he in the right, you know, mind frame going into this fight? Because I know how important it is for him, but that kind of threw me off a little bit when I saw how he reacted to Anderson crying.
Yeah, it looked like he got a little choked up there, but at the same time, you know, Izzy, you know, I haven't seen him in the last 24 hours, so I couldn't tell you exactly, but, you know, I know Izzy enough to know that things like that ain't really going to rock him. Yeah, that might have choked him up a little bit then, but at the same time, you know, he's just, you know, he's a smart man. He knows what needs to be done, and, you know, I'm sure he won't hold back. You know, he's got a job to do, and he's got his own legacy he's trying to build. So, you know, you're going to be seeing, a well-informed Israel Adesanya out there, I guarantee you.
In your opinion, what's the most important thing that he has to do in this fight, especially early on, to set the tone?
You know, well, just to be honest, look, you know, I love Anderson Silva. Obviously, he's one, you know, the GOAT, one of the best of all time. But I just think, you know, the game's evolved, and I just think if Izzy does his thing, you know, he'd just be too much. You know, obviously he's young and athletic as well, but you know, Anderson, you know, it's MMA, so anything can happen. That's always the case. But I just think that, you know, just there's just so many tools that Izzy has, you know what I mean? Obviously, that's the same for Anderson, but I just think that Israel is just in his prime right now, and he's just going to be too much, you know. But, you know, maybe I'm biased because, yeah, he's one of my teammates, and you know, but at the same time, that's truly what I believe.
We're talking to Alexander Volkanovski, one of the very best featherweights in the world, 19-1, coming off that big win over Chad Mendes in December. And you've been in the news, Alex, this past week. You've done some media, but just last night, Jose Aldo's team spoke to MMAfighting.com and said that they are interested in fighting you in Brazil in May. And I know you've talked about title fights. I know Max Holloway said, I've never heard of this guy, Alexander Volkanovski, and it seemed like Aldo said that initially as well, but now he's seemingly interested in fighting you. So what's your take on what Aldo's manager told MMAfighting.com last night?
Yeah, well, that's it, eh? I swear it wasn't long ago.
Yeah.
At all. It was just a couple of days ago, I was talking to people like, oh, yeah, supposedly he doesn't know who you are and stuff like that, and I'm just like, oh, well, you know, maybe he didn't understand the question when he said sorry, what was that, or maybe he doesn't know who I am, but you know, now he obviously does, or his team does, whether they think, you know, yeah, this is a good matchup in a, you know, way. I think they really want the last run to the title. So honestly, that what I seen on Twitter was the first I heard of it. So then, after his fight, I threw that out there because I wasn't really getting nothing back. And you know, I just thought, I'd throw that there. You know, if you want a quick turnaround, you know, I'd like to stay busy. But a win like that against Moicano, I thought might be next if he was to win that fight. And, you know, I still think, look, it's just a tricky situation. But at the same time, Aldo's, you know, done a lot. And, you know, if I can get that fight with him and take him out, like, surely I'm next in line. So, you know, I'm more than happy to take that fight 100%, you know, but I want it to be a number one contender fight. So let's see what they give us. But right now, honestly, what you're seeing on Twitter is all we know.
Do you have any reservations about fighting him in Brazil?
Oh, I'll do whatever needs to be done. Unfortunately, I got one of my best mate, best friend since I was a young chap. His wedding is on that day.
Oh no!
So they're throwing that date around. I'm like, what's going to happen here? You know, if we could fight earlier in the year again, that's still a fair bit away. I want to fight early if I can. So we'll have to have a chat and see where this goes. That's May, isn't it?
Yeah, that's May 11th. So to be clear, if they offer you that date, you'll say no?
Oh, look, I won't say that yet, no. But we're going to have a good chat. And, yeah, I don't know. Well, I'd rather fight earlier. Like I said, I'm here to make money. I've got a family to look after.
Sure.
And I want that title by the end of the year.
Any traction as far as the title fight is concerned? I know that's obviously what you want first and foremost, and you talked about Max Holloway. He said he didn't know you, but behind the scenes, do you know if the UFC was interested in putting that fight together next?
Like I said, I haven't really talked to him. I think they're waiting to see what's happening. Like, I don't even know. Like, if they're waiting to see what's happening with Conor McGregor and Max, you know, you've seen them putting the feelers out there. Max was trolling a little bit, and it looked like he was putting the feelers out there. So is he moving up to lightweight? I don't know. Again, I probably know just as much as you. You know, I'll tell you everything. Everything I know, I'll tell you. I swear.
You're the man. Alex, you know, we've been talking about the top two fights all show long here. But, you know the scene as well as anyone. Is there a name or two that we need to look out for on this card? It's a card that's flying under the radar. I said it was thin as far as big names are concerned. But, you know that scene so well. Could you tell us of a name or two that you're excited to watch this evening in Melbourne?
Everyone on this side of the world, mate, we're taking over. How many times have we got to tell you? there's a few good guys. It's going to be, a cracking event. So I can't wait. I'm going to get there nice and early. I've already got my suit on.
Wow.
I'll get picked up soon. So, I'm going to be heading straight to the arena to watch it from the first fight. But, wow. Obviously, you got my teammates. You got, Shane Young, Kai Kara France, and Izzy. And, got guys like Jimmy Crute. I'm really, really looking forward to that one. For such a big fella, he loves the fight. So, that's going to be a pretty, pretty good fight. Him and Sam Alvey. So, I'm looking forward to that one. But Kai Kara France, honestly, people say this flyweight division, they're trying to wipe it out and things like that, but I don't know why. I absolutely love the division when it comes to MMA fighters. They look good in there. And Kai, he's got some knockout power. So if there's one that you really want to watch, it's going to be Kai Kara France, I believe.
Great
obviously
stuff.
The big names as well.
Yeah, of course. Great stuff, Alex. I really appreciate you doing this. Enjoy the fights. Unfortunate, of course, the main event is off, but this shaping up to be once again another big night for City Kickboxing, your team with those three fighters competing on the card. Really appreciate it. And good luck getting that big fight next. We're pulling for you, my man.
Yeah. Let's do it. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Alexander the Great Volkanovski joining us from Melbourne, site of UFC 234. We only have like 18 minutes left. I'm so sad. I could go another 3 hours. After the break, more of your phone calls. We'll wrap this baby up. We'll take you to UFC 234. Do not go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
You're listening to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Uber. By the way, we're going to do one of these before UFC 235 on March 2nd, so it's going to be a pre-pay-per-view staple. I love it. Thanks to all who have called in. I'm going to try to get to the rest of the callers here in the last few minutes, but Kelvin Gastelum has just gone on Instagram, and he posted this. With much sorrow, I write that my fight for the middleweight title is off. I'm sorry to everyone that was expecting this great fight, family, friends, and followers from around the world. God has a reason for doing things, and I firmly believe his plans are much bigger and better than I can even imagine. I'm so torn about this situation, a lifetime of pursuit to be able to reach this level, and I hope none of these efforts will go in vain. That's Kelvin Gastelum. Tony, New Jersey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Ariel?
I'm all right.
So, What are the chances that Calvin gets a replacement opponent for tonight?
No chance. Zero chance. Not going to happen. If I were him, if I were managing him, I would tell him, don't take any. I mean, that's just crazy. They're not Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Don't do it. It's too short notice. Nick in Nebraska, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks.
Great. Hey, I just wanted to kind of make a comment. I know some fans are complaining about, you know, the card essentially falling apart, but this kind of always does happen in the sense of 235 is a stacked card. It's a big card. And I think this situation just kind of evens itself out, so I don't see why the fans are complaining that much. I mean, yeah, it's going to be $65 to pay for the pay-per-view, but, I mean, you're getting your money's worth coming up with the upcoming fights. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, but, yeah, you can't look at it like, oh, I'm going to get my money's worth next time. The facts are that tonight you're being asked to pay $65 for what is a pretty thin card. Hani Yaya, and Sam Alvey have been in the UFC for like 16, 17 fights respectively. They never fought on pay-per-view before. Is that an indictment on the card? Is that an indication that the card is a little too thin? Perhaps, but I think we could be honest and say this is a pretty thin offering. It was a two-fight pay-per-view. It was a really good two-fight pay-per-view, and now it's a one-fight pay-per-view, and sometimes when you put together a thin card, you're going to get hit like that. And I wouldn't blame someone who says, you know what, I'm just going to skip this one and save my money in you know, for just a couple of weeks from now, because it's March 2nd, UFC 235, and as you said, that card is stacked. Anthony in Seattle, how's it going?
Hey, Ariel. The question for you is that, and kind of alluding to what you were speaking about, with a weaker card and ESPN being the new platform, what are the odds, and maybe not today with the card falling through just a few hours before it begins, but SportsCenter follows the prelims. What are the chances that cards in the future get moved to ESPN if there's nothing following the prelims that are big time, and weaker cards like this could show up on cable and move from pay-per-view?
Here's the thing about ESPN. There's always something to show. There's a lot of sports out there. There's a lot of action. We've got college basketball action coming up right after this. There's the NBA on Saturdays and whatnot. I don't think that's going to happen. UFC is committed to pay-per-view. They want to do 12 to 13 pay-per-views a year, and they still make money off of the pay-per-views, so I don't see that happening anytime soon. You can order the pay-per-views, by the way, via the ESPN app, but I don't see the cards moving to ESPN anytime soon. Alex in Nevada, what's on your mind?
Hey, Ariel. First things first, huge fan, my dude. I just wanted to ask you if you had seen that Cowboy tweeted that he's on the continent and that he knows a guy. I just wanted to see if you had any expectation that they might get him on the card for some additional star power.
No, absolutely not. It's too short notice. He has not weighed in. The commission hasn't cleared him. Again, as I said to Chael, that's Chael 101. That's a great gimmick. And it is a real thing. I have no doubt that if they called Cowboy right now and said, could you do this? I have no doubt in my mind that he would do it. He's that kind of guy. That's why everyone loves him. But we all know that that can't happen. He hasn't weighed in. He hasn't done his paperwork. He hasn't done his medicals. Again, I'll go back to my Rock'em Sock'em Robot thing. It's like these guys are professionals. They can't just jump in there. And then let's look at the opposite side of the spectrum. Kelvin Gastelum is emotionally distraught. He is broken. He was supposed to fight for the belt. Now he's going to fight Cowboy Cerrone for what? So I get everyone loving that. And I would love it. I would get geeked out over it. But it's not going to happen. There's no chance that it happens. But it's a smart move on his part. It's great PR. Everyone loves you a little more for doing it. And by the way, Chael did throw his name in the hat as well and say that as long as they got him, I think it was a mouthpiece, some gloves, and a XXXXXL cup, he could do it. So if they're considering Chael, they need to get those things in order fast. Dan in Brooklyn, how are you?
Yes, hey, Ariel. I had heard Chael and Gil talk earlier in the week about whether or not three-round main events were going to come back in fashion, whether fighters were going to start pushing for our money for those additional rounds. And with this main event now being three rounds, was there talk of it being five rounds? And do you think we can see more three-round events coming in the future?
To the best of my knowledge, there was no talk of this being a five-round main event because you have to understand these guys didn't train for a five-round fight. That's 10 extra minutes. You got to do a lot more as far as your training is concerned, cardio is concerned. I mean, there are some guys, younger guys, that could do it. But if I'm Anderson Silva, there's no way I'm doing that. And that's part of the reason why they pay guys more to take five-round main events. Usually it's $25,000 each. So to the best of my knowledge, that was not on the table. And to the best of my knowledge, they are not getting rid of the five-round non-title fight main event. That's a staple in Bellator. I think they should stay with that. give them, you know, an opportunity to be a little different than the UFC, but the UFC seems to like it. I wasn't a fan of it. I like the fact that title fights only back in the day were five rounds, but then they went to it and some of the fights, you know, I guess delivered as far as five rounds are concerned, and they thought that it sort of justified the move. But if it were up to me, I wouldn't have changed it. And I can understand why some fighters would be hesitant to take those fights, Jose Aldo being one of them as well. Nadir in Toronto, how's it going?
What's going on, my man?
Not much. Just wrapping up the show here. We have like 2 minutes left.
All right, perfect. Got a quick question about the whole lightweight scenario and all the situation that's going on with Cerrone tweeting out or Instagramming that he was supposed to get an interim championship against McGregor. How no one's talking about Tony Ferguson.
Ferguson should be next, no doubt about it.
Exactly. Why is Levitard always doing you dirty, man? I love his show. I love your show. Why can't everyone be friends?
I love Dan Levitard. I hope I'm not breaking kayfabe here, but I was not offended. I know a lot of people are upset by how he treated me last time. I get the shtick. The only thing I'll say is every time you have to tell people that it's the show after the fact, then maybe you're not doing a good enough job of explaining what the show is before the fact, if you get what I'm saying. Like, you can't offend and then afterwards apologize and say, it's just the show. That's the only thing I'll say. But I love Dan. I love what he does. I love Stu Gatz. I love all those guys. Part of the family. There's no beef on this end of the table. All right. Thank you to everyone who has called in. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. I can't thank you enough. Again, I love doing this. We're going to do it before every pay-per-view. UFC 235, March 2nd in Las Vegas. We'll do another one. I think that one is going to be 2 hours. So stay tuned for that. UFC 234 is coming up, 8 o'clock prelims on ESPN. Check those out. And then pay-per-view begins at 10 p.m. Eastern time on your local pay-per-view provider. You can also get it on the ESPN.com app. Thank you for listening. Back March 2nd. I love you all. Peace.